Molotov cocktails, improvised explosive devices, rocks, bottles of piss. These are some of the many things that are being thrown at federal agents. And I was there on the scene with my guest today, Jorge, or George. I told you guys I don't like to call him Jorge because I'm not into whores. George Ventura, journalist for the Daily Caller. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Elijah.
Yeah, so we're going to get into a lot of amazing stuff. You know that. You were there. I was there. We saw things that the media is saying are lies. As always, welcome back to Slightly Offensive with your favorite host, me, Elijah Schaefer, and we have our guest host, too, who's going to be helping us talk everything Portland that you need to know with the action and clips that come along with it. This show, as always, is brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company. It is the best cup of coffee in America. Check this out. Due to the fundraising they had on July 4th, they gave over 30,000 bags, donated them to soldiers.
Hey, that's actually great to hear. I need my bag too, Elijah. Where's it at?
I'll get you some. But Black Rifle Coffee Company is veteran-owned, veteran-operated, and you guys got to realize, we all drink coffee. So why support coffee companies that hate you, that hate free speech? Support one that supports us. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive using my code to get 20% off your order and free shipping. But also, I really recommend using their coffee club. I don't know about you, but you probably have to wear masks in D.C. in stores, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, you already know.
I hate masks. And so you don't have to wear a mask. Don't go to a store. Get it direct shipped to you. Anything you want to your home or office. You can get the coffee rounds, the ground roast, the whole bean, even their coffee cans, which I prefer. Anyway, go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive using my code to get 20% off today. But anyway, let's jump right into this. So you're in one piece.
Yeah. I made it out. And in total, Elijah had 10 nights on the ground reporting. Out of the 10 nights, thank God I wasn't hit by a rubber bullet or, fire.
You weren't hit?
Nothing. So I made it out 10 nights, clean cut. Look at that, man, looking clean.
You got a haircut,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it wasn't always like that. You know, when I was covering the D.C. riots, I got shot by a rubber bullet in the forehead. So after that, I really learned my lesson just to be more cautious when I was out there. But you did a really good job, man, on the front lines. You got retreated by POTUS.
Yeah, the president did share my stuff, and I was excited about that. And for those of you guys that are not aware of what's going on in Portland, make sure you watch our last episode, but also check out some of the shocking footage that both George, I, and some friends covered on the ground. I mean, people watching that, George, like, people watch that stuff, and they go, what is it like being there? Like, what is going through your head when you're capturing stuff like that?
You know, for me, Elijah, I've been covering protests all across the country, and the biggest thing for me is just how organized these protests are in Portland, and also just every night willing to go, to clash with federal officers till 3 or 4 in the morning. I've never seen anything like that. You know, we've seen fireworks, projectiles. My last night that we actually saw an explosive there, I know they're still investigating to see what type of that stuff was. I know on Sunday the Portland police discovered Molotov cocktails. So I've never really seen any time of these weapons. Very, very well organized, these protesters in Portland. Nothing like I've seen before.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So I'm going to show a clip here of really how organized it is. And you're going to see, it's kind of like the movie 300, huh? Like the Greeks, they get this line. They form actual military lines. Look at this. And look at how well organized these random peaceful protesters are. So we're there, and you see this stuff, and I want to talk about a few different subjects here that we can really expose what's going on. This is to expose the media narrative on Portland. Obviously, you and I just went there to capture what we did. But let's get into the organization. Let's track through the protest. So we get to a point, it's usually about 9 or 10 o'clock when the protest ends, and sort of, I say, like, the early stages of riots begin.
Right.
Can you tell me from your perspective, how does this switch? Because people are curious, right? You see the peaceful protest on the mainstream media. How does it switch from that protest to what we start seeing at like 2 in the morning? Like, bring me through what you're seeing and how this works.
Yeah, so usually I arrive on the scene around 9, 9:30, And, you know, you just see a big crowd there. You know, they're doing speeches, they're doing chants, you know, Black Lives Matter, say her name, Breonna Taylor. And they're just doing the normal stuff. Usually around 10, 10:30, even 11 sometimes, we start then to see the crowd just focus purely on the federal courthouse. So then we see them actually attack the barricade. This is where they throw fireworks. And then, as you've seen as well, Elijah, they also start actually fires on the federal courthouse. This will then usually draw out the response from the federal officers.
Yeah, yeah. It's, people don't realize this. The officers usually don't come out until there's explosives.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on the night on the ground for 10 nights, and I haven't seen an instance where the federal officers were actually came out before anything, like anything, any violence actually kicked off. So from what I've seen is the crowd usually initiates the violence, usually with fireworks and arson, especially the arson, that's a big deal. That would usually draw out the federal officers. And then, as you noted too, Elijah, when you were out there tweeting, is that they give out several warnings in the intercom. It's not like a one.
12.
Yeah, yeah. I saw some of your tweets. It went out, usually some of them go over 15 warnings. So this is not like once, twice, three times. This is over 10 times that we're seeing it. Then that usually drives out a federal response. And they warn you in the warnings that crowd control, you know, crowd control munitions could be used when the federal officers respond to the crowd.
Yeah, and so I think where the narrative is a lie, and you know this too. It's like, first of all, anti-fascists or Antifa, people say they're not really present, which is a lie. They are present. I mean, you see the black bloc.
We can't even do our jobs in peace because they're after us. You know, we have to go in undercover and, you know, I'll basically become one of them.
They were trying so hard to find us. They were trying. Remember yeah. they were putting our faces out there, and that's why you took your mask off.
Yeah.
And I go, George, put your mask back on. Literal idiot, and going, they're actually trying to dox us, and they will hurt you. We watch journalists. They get jumped.
Yeah, no, I might be laughing now. I'm just, you know, trying to make the most, but no, it's a serious thing. We have to be in total black bloc. We can't really go on live on social media the way we like to because, you know, they track down our locations. But you know what? We did a good job. You did a good job, man, even after they discovered you the first night.
Yeah, they did. They discovered me in black bloc, which brings up the interesting thing. The media says, you know, there isn't Antifa. Jerry Nadler says Antifa's a myth. He looks like the Penguin, and he doesn't even know how to put on a belt, so I don't really trust his opinion on something like a serious public crisis. But, you know, it's like, I think one of the first rules for me to trust your opinion is, like, learn how to put your belt through all the loopholes, and then once you know how to do that, I trust you a little more. But, you know, they say they're not present, but one of their main doxers, and people don't know the doxing, they look for you, they try to find pictures.
Sure. And they do this to federal officers, too.
Yeah, they said, oh, he's dressed like Antifa. So if Antifa is a myth and it's not real, how can you dress like something that isn't real?
Hey, Jerry, come to Portland with me, please. I'll buy you a ticket. We'll stay at the same hotel, everything, right?
Yeah, I don't want to be in the same hotel. I don't know what he smells like. He smells like talcum powder, you know?
But Elijah, did you get a chance to have any food at the Riot Ribs, the famous Riot Ribs?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Riot Ribs. Okay, so this random peaceful protest, we got that they have firebombs, projectiles. They're organized in a line. Look at the clips of this incredible place. It's their centralized location, including they also have a field hospital called the Witch's Tent. Talk about demonic and satanic symbolism.
And we're gonna leave your tent and hope that it doesn't get... Yep, we definitely have turned the light off. We're getting out of
here.
Love
you, witches.
We love you. After you, sir. I hope that, hope your shit's okay for the most part.
Oh, there's a lot of fire.
Okay, so, did you eat at Riot Ribs?
No, I did not.
Why didn't you? Why didn't you? You know the truth. You know why. Why didn't you eat at Riot Ribs?
I'm not trusting it. Look, I eat Mexican tacos off the street. I'm not eating Riot Ribs. I'm not eating those ribs off
people
the street.
People got salmonella poisoning. That's a real issue. People are getting sick from eating Riot Ribs.
There is a good clip I want your audience to check out, Elijah. Who did, though, was Richie McGinnis from the Daily Caller. He actually not only had some Riot Ribs, he gave us a review. Check out this clip now.
Extra spicy, baby. Extra spicy. Check this out.
So I'm about to sample this Riot dog right now.
Oh shit. How is it? No?
It tastes like it was roasted over that garbage right there. With the goddamn motorcycle doing a burnout over here. Did I miss the burnout? Shouldn't have eaten this damn Riot dog.
I'm just gonna keep chewing it until I get into a place that's far enough away I can taste the fucking tear gas.
It's Corona friendly.
Watch yourself, back up!
Anybody got any lighter fluid?
fire riot, dog.
Okay, Richie is absolutely an insane person. When you're there, this is how ridiculous it is. They have this whole tent feeding these people. It's essentially an insurgency supply tent. It's multiple tents. Right. It's growing. It's big. And they've taken over the park to the point where they're violating park camping laws. They've turned the grass into dirt. It's so abused that it turned into dirt. And at this point, what people don't realize being there is that as much as we laugh about it now, it's like a pretty scary place.
Well, Elijah, one thing you're not mentioning, Elijah, is out of all the restaurants in Portland, this is a place that we actually have dining at full capacity.
No social distancing.
We have some pros to riot ribs, okay? It's not all cons.
Yeah. No, the riot ribs. Yeah, there's no social distancing. They don't wear masks. There's pictures of people coughing in their hands and going back and serving the ribs. I mean, this is a very dirty place. Yeah. People are not social distancing, which brings up the hypocrisy of this idea that in a state that's still in phase one of reopening,
right.
There's an absolute state and city level sponsorship of this event, even though theoretically speaking, it's violating all COVID-19 orders. Did you see any social distancing? Were they following any guidelines?
No. And I think if you're a local in Portland, we got to interview a few business owners, but it's just that, you know, when you look at these protests, you look at riot ribs, and then your local leaders tell you, you can't have dine-in, you can't go to church, but then you see this every single night. It's just total, you know, hypocrisy. How can you even take these leaders seriously? But like you said, Elijah, it's
the restaurants have to close at 10 and bars.
Right.
Riot Ribs stays open until 7 in the morning.
It goes on all night.
If you
24-hour service. So there, a lot of cons to Riot Ribs.
If you want to dine in and risk getting shot by a tear gas canister, it's a trade-off.
And
right?
Elijah, we also missed the best part.
What?
It's totally free. You don't have to pay. So you could take, you know, if you meet a nice pretty lady in Portland, you want to take her on a nice date and want to save some money, take her down to the Riot Ribs. Just make sure you have a gas mask on you.
And then also, how do people eat in the tear gas? I never got it. They like have their gas masks up. And they're like eating like corn.
That's impressive. I respect that. I respect that. I do.
I never understood. Like, I'm like, who's eating? Like, there's literal. Look at how thick the clouds of tear gas are. And this is around. This is Riot Ribs is like to my left, and this is what's there. Okay, you know what I'm talking. You can't even see anything.
Yeah.
You can't see anything.
You can't see anything.
There's literally nothing there. And this is on the food. So on top of that, let's talk about some of the extremism as well. People talk about these being just normal. They're moms. They're veterans. This photo op, right? They use people to try to use the media. And I know one of your associates, Shelby Talcott, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shelby Talcott talked about how one man, I heard him, he was yelling to the DHS, you know, we're winning the propaganda war. This is a propaganda war. And they know that all of this dysfunction that's going on is coordinated. And what people don't realize, enough with the laughs on Riot Ribs, which I could laugh about all day, nothing says fight fascism like pork cooked over some charcoal and in tear gas. Really, it's a beautiful sight. But what Trump retweeted from me was my theory, is that I believe that there's a concerted effort of like people wondering, well, why is this happening in Portland? What's going on? What's the purpose? And there is a purpose. You know, New York, Minneapolis, Chicago, Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, mayors are intentionally restricting the ability for the police to obtain and uphold law and order. They are not getting in the way when they attack federal property. They are trying to force Donald Trump's hand to put federal troops into their cities so that they can accuse him of being a fascist. They're going to allow the standoff to continue. They're going to keep putting more restrictions on the police. Crime's going to skyrocket. It's going to look like the DHS is partly responsible for the increase in crime when it was already happening because they've been pulling police back. They're actually keeping it at bay. And then what they're going to do is they're going to continually use this as a political ploy and use their citizens as cannon fodder, as victims. Everybody that gets arrested, everybody that's head gets split open, everyone that gets shot with a rubber bullet in the eye is just an unnecessary victim of Democrat leaders in their city intentionally using those citizens as victims in order to make Trump look bad. And it's sick. It's a political tool. It's a weapon. They're so willing to make Trump look bad that they're going to put their own citizens' safety in jeopardy, lose tax dollars, destroy city parks. They will do this concerted as an effort just so that they can make Trump look bad. And it's sick. Like, it literally, you see it. It's intentional. They keep the police out intentionally. The police aren't allowed to go in.
And you know what? What sucks about the situation, Elijah, is that the people who pay for this is just the regular Portland citizens who like want to get to work, mm-hmm. who have bills to pay, who have, you know, 9 to 5. I actually got to interview a U.S. Veteran in Portland, and he described the situation that he said that the constant noise and clashes every night, it reminds him of when he served in his time in Iraq. So I was pretty, you know, that's pretty shocking to hear that in 2020 in an American city. Mm. So that was from a veteran. And I actually also spoke to a liberal who actually wanted to come see the protest for himself. As soon as he arrived, he actually got chased out for filming. As soon as he got chased out, I grabbed him for an interview. And he said he's absolutely getting tired of the local leadership not doing anything and just wants something done at this point. So it's, you know, as much as it's, you know, this is just getting framed, you know, when you see the New York Times and CNN and MSNBC, they're framing this as it's Trump's fault, that, you know, all this is his fault, and they're trying to make this a political game. At the end of the day, the people who hurt the most is just those Portland residents just trying to open up a business, you know, just trying to live life. These anarchists are ruining that for them. And like you said, Elijah, it is being used now as a political tool. We saw, like, last week, Ted Wheeler made an appearance at the riots.
Those who don't know, that's the mayor of Portland.
Yeah, that's the mayor of Portland. And not only did he make an appearance, but he bashed Trump. You know, he got interviewed by some reporters. He bashed Trump in the front lines. While he's bashing Trump, you got Antifa literally behind him starting fires on federal court property. So it's just like, come on, like, how can you do that as a mayor, stand there while there's crimes being committed on federal court property? It's just a very bad situation. And, you know, I know the Portland residents right now are looking for some type of solution. To be honest, people ask me all the time, hey, George, you know, you're on the ground. When do you think this is going to be over? To be honest, Elijah, I don't see the momentum dying down. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen it yet.
I know Trump just threatened to put actually deploy National Guard to occupy Portland, and it might be necessary. And though I do want to say this. This is what's really funny. Whenever I go to protests, so I accidentally packed the wrong stuff. This is why I'm wearing this in like every episode, because this is not a V-neck. I would never wear a V-neck on purpose. That's just the mic. I there's this company that sponsors a show called Tommy John, and you've heard me talk about them, that they are the official riot underwear. And I call them the official underwear protest because they are so comfortable that I actually, this is disgusting, I only brought one pair on accident. And so I wore them for 3 days straight without washing them. I only wore them at night because they don't ride up and they don't chafe. They're so comfortable that anytime I'm doing a lot of activity or anything, I have to wear these. I would have worn them all day, but I knew that, like, I figured if I wore them in 3 6-hour periods, it was like wearing them for one day.
Okay, that's smart.
But Tommy John is really an incredible company, guys, and I really don't like to give you guys brands that I don't believe in. They're not only one of the best boxers and support for your nuts, they hug them, they keep them breathing so there's no odor, but also, too, for the ladies who do not have the junk down there to protect, they also have, like, bras and underwear for the girls that are just as comfortable, because girls like to be comfortable, too. And so if you guys go to TommyJohn.com/offensive, you can get 20% off the official riot underwear of America. And as we try to keep Portlanders safe, keep your stuff safe down there, and always get rid of the chafing, whether you're a blue-collar worker or anything. Guys, underwear rides up, and these are the highest quality underwear I've ever owned. I've owned other brands like Calvin Klein, et cetera, that are even more expensive, and they're just not as good. And so that's why, guys, I just want to let you know that Tommy John supports the show, but they also support the part of you that matters the most, guys, and you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, go to TommyJohn.com/offensive, get 20% off. Check it out today. You can't wait for it, and I'll tell you what, once you try them on, some of the most private and important parts of your body will never stop thanking you. But anyway.
Hey, you owe me some coffee and some boxers.
Yeah, I do. You're like, how do you report without riot underwear? I don't even know. We're like Mormons. We start our new riot cult. It's like we have our own special underwear and we put it on. Sorry, Glenn Beck. I know I'm not trying to insult your religion, but I have my own and it's called Portland Cult. It's the Portland riot, and we sacrifice on the altars of riot ribs. Anyway, let's talk about something really important that you noticed. Fake press, fake Antifa press. This is something new. People don't realize that Antifa has their own press corps.
Yeah, they have their own, you know, New York Times, as I would say.
The Antifa
they don't
Times?
Even, yeah, yeah.
The Times, the power to the people.
So, yeah, so for folks who didn't know, you know, I think before you and me got on the ground, Elijah, and obviously, you know, like Kaylin and Drew from Lives Matter, there was a media war already going on in Portland. And the really far left was winning that media war. They have their own reporters on the ground that don't get harassed. And what these reporters do is that they strictly film the federal officer's response. They never film, you know, the huge mob starting fires, attacking the federal building, you know, bringing hammers and actually hitting federal officers in the head. They never show you that part. They never talk about that. They strictly show you only the federal response. So for about the first, I would say, good 40 days, they were winning the media war. They had a narrative. And I think we've done a good job at least going, you know, landing in Portland and at least showing you the full context and showing you what really happens from 9:30 to 4 in the morning. And we're letting our audience, you know, form their own opinion. But, yeah, there is a big media war going on in Portland. And the other big thing, Elijah, is CNN and MSNBC and New York Times, what they do is when they look for reporters to talk about these topics is they tap in those reporters. They bring them onto their shows. You know, so it's just like now the national audience has this framework, has this narrative written in. So, yeah, there is a media war. And I think, you know, personally, I think we've done a pretty good job, all of us, of going in there, at least trying to combat, at least trying to show people the full context.
Yeah, I do, too. And I think that the fake press, the Antifa press, first of all, this is a picture of you're looking at right now of me. This is Patriot Press versus Antifa Press. Who do you trust for your info?
Choose your fighter.
Choose your fighter. And, you know, Antifa says I'm anti-disabled people. I am not anti-disabled people. I'm a practical person, and I don't understand in this situation how someone in a wheelchair is going to accurately get into the front lines, because even someone without a wheelchair has a hard time. I'll say this. True, they say that I'm anti-disabled. I think everyone there is a little bit disabled, and that's not even an untrue statement. We have some problems. There's a lot of issues going on, mental health issues for sure. People there have literal psychological problems because they think they're fighting a war, but it's disinformation. But the Antifa press, what people don't realize is, as you're watching these clips play, these people throwing the tear gas, charging people. There was a court order that put this thing called press immunity in Portland that no longer allowed federal officers to arrest or fire projectiles at press and legal observers, also known as the green hats,
right.
Terrorist advocates, as I like to call them. or just like little bitches in little green caps, you know, little bitch green cap boys, little shin lords. But like they know that there's this immunity for press, and so they write press on themselves. They put these fake press badges, and then they assault officers. They attack officers, and then the media reports, oh, the press is getting attacked by the federal officers, even if there's an injunction, and it's just Antifa. And they're not even dressed like press. They're wearing, like, helmets. They have, like, shields, and they're, like, they're just like, right. Press and tape. Who are they? I mean, one of those guys even admitted to it on camera. You saw that, right?
Yeah, and then I saw that interview on Twitter. He literally is like, oh, yeah, I'm just writing press so I don't get tear gas or shot. So then it puts people like us who are press even in more jeopardy, because when these people line up next to us, you know, when the action is going down, they're also, you know, berating at the cops. They're like, you know, talking crap to them. So now the cops are like, wait, are they with the crowd or are they not? It just puts all of us in a bad situation. But yeah, we just have to highlight the media war going on in Portland. Hopefully we could keep reporting on the ground there and just keep providing context of the real situation of what's happening. But it's a true disservice to us actually trying to just do our jobs, this Antifa press. And at the end of the day, now the federal office, it just makes the jobs of the federal officers even tougher, because now it's like, how do we distinguish? They don't want to get in trouble.
Look at this clip. Look at this clip right here.
Yep.
This is the fake Antifa press are charging at the federal officers. The press is back like a couple feet. Look at this, like, they had to respond with pretty severe projectiles. Look at this. They threw, like, 6 flashbangs or 5 flashbangs at us and mowed us down with, like, machine gun rubber bullets. Check this out. Yeah, and that's what you're saying. Our life's in danger, and they're putting ourself in the way. I got shot by my peepee, by a rubber bullet. I also got some tear gas canister shot directly at my leg. This clip right here, what you're gonna see, that explosion, is that bounced off my leg. It looks like at least shot it out of a launcher right at my shin, and then it bounced off and blew up in front of me. So I had like a really nice experience here, and then my camera goes black for obvious reasons.
Oh,
So it's crazy. It's crazy, right? I mean, but you know you're putting yourself in harm's way. I know I'm putting myself in harm's way. But looking at the situation, kind of bringing this to a conclusion, you know, there's a lot of topics going around, and this is the final part, right? This is part five of this Battlefield Antifa, and it's not going to be the last time we cover them.
Right.
You're becoming somewhat of an expert on this Antifa movement as well. Obviously, the media we see is a lie. The people are aggressing first before they're attacked. We see this disinformation using these people as tokens and victims like veterans and dads when it's really just a bunch of kids out there that believe in this. But I know that I talked to some people there, and I red-pilled them. I really told them the truth on what's going on and how their governor is using them. And they got really, they were open. They really did, they were perceptive. And they were like, they didn't think about that, right? They didn't, they have disinformation. They're in an echo chamber. And there are reasonable people out there that need to hear the truth. They won't hear it unless we can bring it to them. But I know that with things escalating, what's your opinion? What do you see from what you saw is probably going to be the outcome of this? Like, I mean, going ahead, where does this end?
You know what, Elijah, that's a good question. I think that's something I'm going to keep asking of where does it end? One thing I do want to mention, though, is for people who think this is a small minority, it's really not. It's starting to grow in influence. One thing that's really important that a lot of people are not paying attention to is look how the Democratic Party is actually defending Antifa. They won't even call them out, won't disavow them. We saw that video with Jerry Nadler. And I think that's something that we have to really pay attention to. A lot of their policies, like defund the police and stuff like that, it's working in some cities. Yet, you know, most of these members, they want, you know, total abolition, but it's already working in some cities. Seattle has already agreed to defund by 50%. Minneapolis is like dismantling their whole police department. So this is not something that's like, oh, you know, it's just a small minority. This is something we really need to highlight. And especially for those residents in Portland who have to live through this, you know, every single day. But to be honest, Elijah, I don't know when this is going to end, especially in Portland. But I think we need to keep at least watching, trying to do our best job in reporting, at least letting the American public know, hey, this type of culture is breeding. And this is happening. This is happening here in the U.S. in 2020.
Yeah. And I just want to end on this clip here. it's really interesting. Just want to end on watching somebody that tried to get in the way of federal officers get hit in the face with a stick. And there you have it, folks. There you have it, you know? Hey, but as I always say, guys, if you're an aspiring reporter, journalist, podcast, or anything, keep it up. We need all of you. There's a lot of us growing. Check out George Ventura on the links below. Check out our sponsors as well, Tommy John and Black Rifle Coffee. But if you guys are one of those people you don't want to buy things, remember, you can support this show directly. Now more than ever with the censorship and people taking things down, even we've had that problem. I mean, they just age-restricted my last podcast. That was about this.
Come on, man.
I know,
yeah.
Like it was for 18 and older because the truth is for adults only. Unfortunately, we can't really make big tech work better. But we do have a platform called Blaze TV, and you can support this show and trips by going to blazetv.com/slightlyoffensive. Use my code Elijah. And hey, check it out. And also give us a 5-star review. These are easy ways on Apple Podcasts. You can give us a 5-star review. Crazy, I know. Anyway, guys, if you guys are the SOBs, the slightly offensive backers, and you do support the show, a big thank you to that as always. My name is Elijah Schaefer, the host of Slightly Offensive, your favorite C-minus comedian, D-list level, like, information, you know, communicator. But also, you know, it's a shit show, and I love showing it to you, and you guys are addicted to it as well. May God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out. Thank you, George, for coming on the show.
Thank you, sir.